If ever you know of a country or place that's having a drought, let us know. We'll plan a baptism service. Praise the Lord. I was just thinking about this little girl who asked her mother, she said, "Mommy, why do we cut the ends off of the meat before you cook it?" The girl's mother told her that she thought it added to the flavor by allowing the meat to absorb all the spices. But perhaps she should ask her grandmother, since her grandmother always did it that way. So the little girl found her grandmother and said, "Grandma, why do you and Mummy cut the ends of the meat off before you cook it?" The grandmother thought for a moment and said, "I think it allows the meat to stay tender because it soaks up the juices better. But why don't you ask your Nana? After all, I learned from her and she always did it that way." The little girl was getting a little frustrated, and she went to ask Nana. She said, "Nana, why do you cut the ends off of the meat before you cook it?" And Nana said, "I had to. My cooking pot wasn't big enough." We do a lot of things in life, and we seldom stop to ask why. We develop habits and traditions, and if we're not careful, we forget why we do certain things. Friends, we are here for a baptism today. And the act of baptism, and I mean being immersed in water in response to receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is a very important step in the Christian life. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, we see that the Lord Jesus himself coming to his cousin John to be baptized. And the Bible said he did that in order to fulfill all righteousness. And then he went on to establish baptism as an eternal ordinance for his church, calling every believer, listen, calling every believer to follow in his footsteps. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," and then what? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." But in our modern comfort zone Christianity, we do, sad to say, tend to take God's commandments too lightly. We pick and choose the ones we're going to obey. And yet, friends, it is a very important step to take in your faith. I read that Chuck Colson points out, he said, "Most Westerners take baptism for granted. But for many in the world, the act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, it once meant imprisonment." He said, "For Soviet and Chinese and Eastern Bloc believers, it was like signing their own death warrant." It's a very important thing. We read every day that in Middle Eastern countries, being a Christian meant that you're going to die. Being baptized meant you're going to die. And so if the people are willing to do that, it means that it is important in their faith, friends. A wedding ring, I was telling the young men the other day, a wedding ring is an outward sign that a person is married. A military uniform is an outward sign that a person is involved in a particular a branch of service. And similarly, water baptism is a symbol designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. However, I use the word symbol with caution. To say it's just a symbol takes away from the beauty and the depth of water baptism. Baptism is a symbol, but it is far more than it. I like to think of it as an outward expression of an inward change in the heart of the believer. Isn't that true? I like to think of it as a public testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. I like to think of it as being united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. I like to think of it as an act of faith and commitment. I like to think of it as a powerful form of proclamation. When you get into the water, it is a word in water. Or as somebody once said many years ago, it is the visible words of the gospel. Yeah. Amen?
That's right.
It's the visible words of the gospel. Friends, when we are saved, listen. We are spiritually baptized into Christ. In Galatians 3 verse 27, it says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it says that when we are baptized, into his body, the church. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, it says, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Baptism, friends, is an outward representation of these inward realities. Isn't this cute? Where's the photographer, man? Come on, do your thing. Come on, go wild, man. Hey, now this is a servant, man. This is a servant. A young pastor and his wife visited his mother. And the mother noticed that the wife looked a little bit anxious, but didn't want to interfere. Then she heard the wife saying to her husband, all right then, on our way home we'll stop at the church and you can practice baptism on me. But don't think you're going to get it right when you do your first funeral. Friends, water baptism in essence is a funeral. Isn't that true? It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and to the world that the person we were before is dead and buried, and that we are being raised as a new creation in Christ. This is beautifully illustrated in these following verses. In Romans 6 verse 41, verse 4 and 5, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. I love how Colossians 2 verse 12 puts it. It said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the working of God who had raised him from the dead. Friends, being baptized is a command of God. It's not an option. It is an act that God requires of every believer. In fact, Jesus' last recorded words in Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved.
Amen.
Did you see that, friends? Just think about that. The very call to believe on him includes the call to be baptized.
Yeah.
If he puts it in this category, it's important. In a little town similar to Lloydminster, the Mason-Dixon line ran right through this town. And there was divided loyalties in the town. The Southern leading army were against the Northern people. And the Southern people were having a send-off for their young boys going to the army. And a granny got her broom over her shoulder and she was marching right next to these young soldiers. And one of them said, "Granny, have you lost your mind?" She replied, "No, son. I just want to make sure that everyone in this crazy town knows whose side I'm on." And baptism lets everybody in this crazy world, as it were, know whose side we are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It publicly identifies us as being a follower of Jesus Christ. You never read of an unbaptized Christian in the Bible. Hey? You never do that. In fact, baptism immediately followed a person's salvation. They didn't see it as something to put off for another time. And you know what? When we look at the book of Acts, where the church started and these Christians were coming to know the Lord, there are several verses that talk about it, friends. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it said, "When the people responded to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructs them to do, he said, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And then in three verses later, we see what happened. They gladly received his word and were baptized. 3,000 of them.
Amen.
Did you see that? They didn't say, "Hey man, wait, we'll wait for a rainy day." No, they got baptized. What about in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40? We read the account of Philip when he's leading the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. As they were finished discussing, Peter preached Jesus to him. And that sermon must have included the place where Jesus commanded them to believe and be baptized. Listen what happened after that. The Ethiopian says, "What is hindering me from being baptized?" And Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized."
Amen.
And they come across some water, and this new a Christian is baptized. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, the first thing Paul did after he was converted, he was being baptized. You remember Ananias? He said to Paul, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And several places in the book of Acts, we find people coming to be baptized. It was important to be baptized, friends.
Mm-hmm.
There was in Acts chapter 10, we find a whole group of Gentiles being baptized. We find in Acts 16, verse 14 and 15, Lydia and her entire family got baptized. In Acts 16, verse 33, the keeper of the prison. Remember after that miraculous time when Paul and Silas were released, you know what happened? The prison, the warden, or the warden's good? The jail keeper. Yeah, him and his whole family got baptized, man. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
What about Acts 18 verse 8, Cyprus or Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, and his whole family got baptized. What about in Acts 19 verse 1 to 5, we find that the people of Ephesus all got baptized. It's important, friends. Mm-hmm. We don't do that to kill time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop now. I find that, you know, friends, that many Christians who do not follow Jesus through the waters of baptism, I find that they struggle in their faith because they find it more difficult to walk obediently in other areas in their lives. Friends, are you struggling with guilt over your past? Well, perhaps the old person hasn't had a proper burial. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love this verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, I want to say this, friends, and I know we've all been baptized here, and maybe you haven't been baptized yet. Baptism is an act of obedience that pleases the Father.
No.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We waited a long time for this day, Lord. We thank you that we can come together. We thank you for everyone whose head and heart is bowed in your presence. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak to our hearts, that you will continue to draw us close to yourself, and Lord, that you will lead us in the way that you want us to go. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask Wayne and Blade. Blade is Wayne's grandson who is going to be baptized to come up at this time.
Hello, I'm Blade. Thankfully you guys are all here. I don't know much left to say here.
Okay, help. Okay. I have a question for you guys. Do you know that you are God's child through faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
Is it your earnest desire to follow Jesus in debt to self and to walk with Him in the newness of life?
Yes, it is.
Okay. We're going to ask you to say a few words here, please.
Obviously, I introduced myself as I have to as well. You know, thanks again. God bless every one of you. It's just been, God's been good to me. And I thank Him for everything. And I just pray that we'll all follow Him.
Thank you. At this time, ask Dwight if he wants to share a Bible verse with Wayne. He has a Bible verse that Dwight wants to bless you with.
Actually, when I received these verses, as I was thinking about the baptism, it actually came up as a kind of a group situation. As I know, Wayne has followed God for many years, and your life is usually open to witnessing to people whenever you can, and I know your grandchildren and your children are included in that very much so. And I was reading here in Acts 26:18, to open, this was Paul giving his testimony to a king. He was explaining what had happened in his life, and it reads, to open their eyes, and to, this is what he was called to do, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And a lot has happened in your life, Wayne. A lot has happened in the last few days in your life, Blade and Ryle. And the biggest thing is you receive forgiveness of sins. And that is just big, big stuff. It's a miracle, and you did it by faith. And it's very important, as Pastor Keith read in the scripture here, you did it by faith, and that's what pleases God. You cannot please God without faith in your life. And also, in that verse, it talked about inheritance. And an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And the inheritance you received is you became an adopted son of God. And that makes you an adopted brother of Jesus Christ, which gives you an inheritance. You have access to all the power of God and everything that He has for you. And it talks about being taken away from Satan, out of his clutches. You've been saved out of the clutches of Satan, and you have access to the power of God to defeat him whenever he comes against you in your life. And you will never have to be afraid of anything that comes against you again, and you'll just have the power of the Almighty God of the universe. And you need to learn how to use that power to not only protect yourself, but to be able to reach into the lives of other people. And it's an exciting life, guys. Wayne already knows that.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell him. His life's pretty exciting sometimes, I'll tell you. So look forward to, as long as you keep looking towards God and you keep seeking Him and getting to know Him more, the more you get to know Him, the more He reveals to you, and you will see amazing, amazing, awesome things in your life and in this world. The Christian life lived on the front lines of the army is not a boring life. It is an exciting life, and you'll just be totally blown away by it, as we are continually. So, walk with God. Wayne, continue to walk with God. And Psalms 103:13-12 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Our transgressions, our sins. So your sin, whatever was in your life, is gone, man. From east to the west. That's how far it's separated. And it's just totally gone. So don't even think about your past. Don't think about other than to learn from it and look forward to what God has for you. And don't let anything ever tell you that you're not good enough, because now you're a child of God and you have all that power, man, to do many, many amazing things. And there's stories in this crowd. I'll tell you, you want to hear stories. There's stories in this crowd of what God has done in people's lives. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to sneak in here. Okay, so my name is Terry. I'm here to speak a word into Blade's life. So I've got the chance to meet Blade for about a week. He's been helping us on our farm. And I've got to have some conversations with him and watch him and pray about him and figure out who he is. And I just want to say to you that I have seen some very special things in you. And you've told me some special things, and I believe with all my heart that God is working in your life. I believe that God is working in your life. And we promise that we will continue to remember you in prayer and do everything that we can as your new family to help you in your walk with God. So I've been praying. I have one specific verse, but I want you to go home after and read Ephesians chapter 2, the whole thing, And wherever you see this word called Gentile, you put your name in there. Wherever you see where God has the word Gentile, you put the name Blade in there. And you read it that way, okay? And the specific verse that I have from there, it's Ephesians 2, verse 11 and 13. And this is what it says. And this is what I believe God would say to you. He says, don't forget that you, Blade, used to be an outsider. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So I have that on a card. I'll give it to you after the service, and you can read it. Praise the Lord.
Praise. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Dwight. We're going to go to the water now, friends. And if you want to watch from here, that's okay. If you want to come, you can stand closer right there on the jetty, on the dock, whatever they call it.